Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike! Ladylike!
Scream it, ladies.
Ladylike!
All the way out.
Ladylike!
Get it, ladies. Who run the world? Girls and gays.
Oh, I'm into it. Last week on Minority Corner.
What did we talk about?
What did we talk about?
Were either of us there?
I don't think so.
You talked about children's books.
I did. I talked about children's books, books for the children.
Combating racism.
Yes.
Start them early.
Start it early.
Gotta start them early. Start those kids early. Let's combat that racism early.
Start it early, damn it.
Don't do drugs.
I love it.
And
don't do racism.
Don't do racism. Those two things. We'll do books on both of those. Don't do drugs. Don't do racism. Exactly. And I talked about rape in the military, men on men rape, and how it's happening at an alarming rate. I did a huge expose about that.
You did.
Like Linda Tripp, I exposed the whole thing.
But you also have a beef with Linda Tripp, and we talked about that last week, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, shit. I don't want to be like Linda Tripp. Fuck her. Damn
don't
it.
Don't compare yourself to your frenemy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, she's probably listening to this right now. Linda Tripp, I know you're listening to this, and you're probably recording this right now. That is weird. Stop recording this podcast trying to catch me. And this week, we are coast to coast.
You mean around the world.
Yep, that's right, because I'm actually recording all the way from Amsterdam, and Aneke is in Oakland.
Ooh, yes. Exotic locales.
We got you covered, Minority Corner. What are you talking about this week?
This week, I am going to be talking about women and also just in general, people of color in the tech industry.
Whoa, that sounds interesting because you are all up in it. You are in tech land. You are...
I am.
You can't throw a stick without hitting one of them.
I walk and I trip and fall in a nerd. It's just the way it is now.
You are titty deep all up in nerd land.
Just waiting, my titties just smacking nerds in the face all day long. Just
left and right, boom, boom, boom. Similarly to when your internet titty was smacking me all up on the Skype.
I had to plug in my computer.
There's a lot. There's a lot of titty all up in my face. I saw a lot of Aneke earlier today. And I'm going to be talking about the history of gay fabulousness. You know, we've been fabulous for a long time, queer people.
Oh, okay. This sounds
queer
fabulousness.
I know. I'm actually doing an uplifting happy piece for once. I know.
This is good. I'm proud of you.
Here comes the joy, everybody. Yay. Get ready.
Well, shall we go to the corners?
Girl, I'm already there. I told you. I'm in the future. No, okay. Come on. Late.
I'm trying. The boat's too slow.
Girl, why are you taking a boat? All this technology, you taking a boat? Take a plane.
Because I'm afraid to fly. No, just trains
girl,
and boats and feet.
Fly
for
high.
Me.
And feet. Oh, girl, that's going to take forever. Use your feet. Get it.
But trains and boats and feet are fun.
That should be your next children's book.
Feet. Okay, let's go.
Aneke, can you hear me all the way from over here in Amsterdam?
I know, you are
like so
straight up international right now. And we had to
I thought you were going to say straight out of Compton for a second.
Yeah, well, if you were in Compton, our time differences would be way easier.
That's true. Oh, yeah, we would have, you know, us trying to orchestrate this whole entire thing with 9-hour time difference, we had to work it out with all the different technologies.
Well, just our planning was like some CIA shit.
Because
first we were going to do it like 12 hours ago.
Yes.
But then that didn't work out, so we then had to like... plan a whole thing where I had my whole day and you went to bed.
Yes, that's right. I went to bed.
And now
you're about to go to bed. I'm drinking like coffee and you're drinking like sleepy time juice. Get ready to pass out and fall asleep. Like you could probably pass out at any moment. Just boom.
I got my robes on.
She does.
I got my makeup's off.
She does.
I'm on my bed. I got my sweats on.
Like in that scene, How to Get Away with Murder, when she takes off the wig and the eyelashes. I got Jerome watching that right now. He is obsessed with that show. It's so good.
The show has gotten insane, by the way.
Yeah, well, don't spoil. We're just right on. We went back to season one because he hadn't seen it. So don't spoil anything.
Speaking of your boyfriend, Jerome, you are literally... are in the vicinity of him right now, right?
Yeah, I could actually go, poke him right now. But he's sleeping, so I'm not going to do that. But yeah, no. I've been here. I'm here. It's been wonderful. It's been delightful.
Wake him up.
Yeah, he might actually be on the podcast later, but it involves me waking him up, and I don't know if he'd be okay with that.
Actually, I don't want him to be all sleepy, angry on the podcast. It could make for a good podcast, it could make for terrible podcasts. Both of us are cracked out right now.
This is true. We are cracked out to the max. I could just ask him questions while he's just sleeping, and it'll just be like a French snore.
That's not creepy at all. That's
right? It's just, I'm going to Linda Tripp the shit out of this podcast. No more Linda Tripp. So, Aneke, what have I missed?
You've missed a dick pic by Donald Trump.
Wait, no, I didn't.
You've, yes.
Fuck off. That is bullshit. No. Are you serious? Donald Trump's actual dick.
He tweeted and then deleted a picture of his dick. The only reason that it can't be fake, because I swear it was by, it was reported by ABC News.
Oh, wow. But, if ABC did it, land of Shondaland, and you did nothing but factual.
Right.
This is some scandal shit. This is like Olivia Pope needs to get up on this.
Here's the thing. As a librarian, I haven't been able to find any other articles about it. Not that I've really searched that hard, because I don't really give a fuck.
Wait a minute. Hold up. You use your librarian powers to research Donald Trump's dick pic.
Like I said, I didn't.
I leave the country, Aneke, and this is what you used your librarian powers for?
Using
your library powers for this?
Look
at Donald Trump's dick pics?
No, I just went to my blogs and saw, like, tried to see if they wrote any stories about them, but they didn't. So then I was like, oh, well, and then I went on with my day while you were sleeping in Amsterdam.
Okay, so you just kind of...
for, like, literally 5 minutes.
Got it. Okay, awesome. You know what's been really amazing, though, over here in Amsterdam is talking about politics over here, because they know about Bernie Sanders.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they actually know about Bernie Sanders probably more than some Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just watching our primaries. Like, they're actually watching our primaries, right? So they're keeping track of what's happening. They are, like, all about Bernie Sanders, but they're just like...
Oh, that's good. Nice. I like that.
They're just, like, terrified about... Or they just think it's, like, such a joke about what the Republicans are doing.
They probably think we're such dum-dums.
Yeah, I mean, they pay attention to our politics more than we do.
I know. It's so weird. We're so behind, and, like, nobody likes to pay attention to anything here in the U.S. Well, I mean, I'm generalizing. I shouldn't say that. People like to pay attention to things that interest them here instead of the whole picture.
Right. But, I mean, they're loving Bernie Sanders because he's socialist, and I think he's going to push us more towards a, you know, European-type culture. Have you heard about the Trump for Stump Girls, the women?
What is this?
They're these black women who are stumping for Trump.
Yes. I have not.
Oh, God. They are, like, the most stereotypical two black women who are just going out there, and they're, like, going out before him, being
but
like,
why?
You know, he's gonna build a wall, y'all. He's gonna build a wall. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Ooh, he gotta kick them immigrants out. That's right. That's right. That's what he's gonna do. That's what he's gonna do. So they're just going out. It's like they found, like, the only two black women that would maybe be able to champion for this guy who's so not about them at all.
But why?
No idea. Maybe they just want to be famous. Maybe they're just, you know, fucking batshit crazy. And then they were on Roland, I forget his last name. He used to be a CNN correspondent. Mm-hmm. He's this black guy. And now BET has their own, like, one-hour news segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they have their own one-hour news segment. And he, like, really gets into the facts. And he talks about, you know, similar to, like, what we do. He talks about news, you know, from this black perspective.
Yes.
In talking about, you know, specific issues. And he had them on there. And they, like, he knows facts. And he kept, like, trying to present facts of, like, well, what is he specifically going to do about the economy? How is he going to pay for this wall? And they were like, no, you need to understand. He's going to beat ISIS, and he's going to bring contracts back here. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Beyonce. Like, they just were going off. And he just, like, he kept trying to interrupt them and be like, but back to the facts. And they were just like, no, yes. Roland, you need to listen. You need to listen. It was just, it was so atrocious and so, so frustrating and so sad. And Roland just, like, ended the interview. They're like those sort of family members who would show up to a potluck and not bring anything, but sure as hell take a doggy bag full of food home. That's who they are.
They're just basically terrible stereotypes of black women, just over and over in a loop.
It's true.
Oh, God.
That's pretty much it, yeah. They're just terrible stereotypes. Like, they've had, like, just, like, these two women to try to, like, you know, get the black vote over onto his side.
Totally.
Seriously?
Oh, I mean, come on. So that, speaking of black women and Trump, and I hate devoting this much time to him because he's a piece of shit, but just discovered on his website, so he has like, it looks like a black model wearing his gray shirt that says Trump on it, but it's actually just a Photoshop picture of a white lady in a gray shirt.
Just stop it. No. He just like Rachel Dolezal something, or like, that's just like, essentially blackface, right? Like,
I
couldn't find an actual black woman and just took a white woman and painted her black.
What?
Thanks. I guess he's really after that black vote. He found these two ladies, and now he turned that white lady into a black woman. And, like, that's the frustrating thing is that, like, you know, he's pretending like he doesn't know who, like, the KKK is, and he's disavowing himself from that, and it's, like, bullshit.
Yeah, and he obviously knows who David Duke is. I know who David Duke is. Like, come on.
And it's just, like, ladies, wake up. Like, he is not ridiculous. About you. And okay, did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't. I was striking.
Good. Okay. Good. That's the answer I was looking for. Good. And I hope all of our listeners, I hope you all didn't watch the Oscars either. But I did watch Chris Rock's. Did you see Chris Rock's monologue?
I did.
Yeah. It was pretty, I thought it was hilarious. He pretty much just sat there for 10, 15 minutes just calling Hollywood racist, and they'd cut to like Helen Mirren and just awkwardly clapping like, this is awkward.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the white people reacting in the audience were hilarious.
There were some interesting points that he was making.
But honestly, I'm going to challenge you on it a little bit because I read up on it. And he said some things that were kind of bullshitty and mean towards black people too.
That's true.
Like the whole comment,
like the Jada Pinkett thing, and it's like she's not even there, and she was trying to do a protest. That, like that was a little fucked up. Like I thought that was a little messed up.
Right.
She was doing a protest.
Like that's not fair.
It's like call her out on that.
Yeah, and then he said some, like there was that one racist joke about the Asian kids that he did in front of them, and they didn't know that that joke was going to happen.
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
And they weren't like that young.
Oh no.
There was like a joke where like they made fun of like stereotypes and Asian children making cell phones and being really smart. It was not good. And so a lot of people were kind of
bad. And like Chris Rock's such a talented comedian.
I know. It totally discredits him.
Like I just would expect so much better from him. Like he's come a long way. Like in his movies, like his humor has matured. He's, you know, not homophobic, and he puts strong female characters in his movies.
Right.
And they're really smart movies too.
Right.
So that's disappointing. He failed on that account.
I know it's
you dropped the ball, Chris Rock.
Right. So here's like what I think is going on. Like there is a lot of Twitter outbreak after the Oscars and after that joke, because Chris Rock apparently said a lot of instead of people of color and diversity, he was just saying black people, which I mean, that's who he is. That's who he represents.
Well, that's
so, but
similar to like how, you know, when we talk about our black, you know, experience or my black gay experience, your black female experience, it's the lens that we are bringing to the table. So we use that to talk about these different issues.
Exactly. So a lot of people kind of were going like, it was weird. A lot of people on Twitter, instead of getting angry at Chris Rock and his writing team, they just were like mad at black people.
Wait, what? Like we are now all responsible for this?
Yeah.
Seriously? We're all lumped together.
Diversity, whatever, black people. Wait, and what? I'm kind of like, no, we all need to band together.
Yes.
But Chris Rock.
But not band together around Chris Rock's wrong thing that he said. Yeah, he doesn't speak for everybody.
In fact, he's probably hella out of touch because he's like mega rich.
Hella rich, so why does that always happen? Like they just lump, like if there's one black person speaking up, it's like, oh, Jesse Jackson speaks for all black people, or Al Sharpton speaks for all black people. Do we speak for all black people?
Right.
Is that like a rotation that happens?
It's like, hello, we have different opinions and minds.
Clearly,
and
I mean, look at the Trump for Stump girls.
I
like,
know.
Clearly, we do not all share different opinions. I mean, we share different opinions. We are not all the same blanket across, you know, we've got crazies on one end and Chris Rock crazy on another. So. News to everybody. Black people have different opinions. We're different people.
So that was like an interesting debate.
Oh, did you see the awkward Stacey Dash moment? Did you see that one?
A lot of people think that she didn't know that it was a joke.
Probably. She's such an idiot. So like Chris Rock like announces, like he's like, and now here's the leader of the new black liberation movement. And she comes out and she's like,
she comes out all giggly.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm so glad to be here. Happy Black History Month. I would love, can we put a hit out on her? Put a hit out on her. Or don't.
Oh, that's pretty.
Just probably take that back. That's like recorded on here. Is that too much?
That's a lot. I'm just wishing her, just want her to go away.
And just so over Cece Dash.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see the face of the wife of the singer?
It was Chrissy Teigen. She's the wife of, what's his singer? John Legend.
Yes, 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 yes. So there's like a freeze frame of like her watching the Cece Dash moment. Go Google it. John Legend, Chrissy Teigen's wife.
You know what?
Is Oscar's the, face. She made, it is the best face ever. If you're sad, look at it because the face that she's giving.
And the
is
best
just...
part is last year when John Legend was singing, because his song for Selma was nominated.
Right.
And he was like singing some song and they like pan to her and she's making another weird face. So it's like 2 years in a row where she's making hella weird faces.
She has like the best faces ever. And apparently like her Twitter was blowing up as it was like happening. She was like, oh, did I do something else again?
She's the wonderful. Best. I love it. Actually, follow Chrissy Teigen on whatever social media that she's on because she's pretty hilarious.
She's really pretty,
she's
too.
She's great.
Yeah.
And the two of them actually rented out, at one point, rented out a food truck and delivered it to protesters.
Oh, hell yeah.
In New York for Black Lives Matter. So they're an awesome couple.
Hell yeah. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, you get the Minority Corner high five. Just a quick news report live from Amsterdam. It is snowing right now, just letting you know.
Oh, it's raining hella hard here.
Oh, I also rode a bike while I was here.
Good. That's usually something that you conquer around the age of 10, but I'm gonna...
Like, riding a bike here is, like, so different. It's like, you know, freeway. You've got a hand signal, and bikes always have the right-of-way. You can get run over.
Oh, wow.
But I survived. I got lost at one point.
Oh,
and I found myself. So I'm just, you know...
What about a helmet?
No, no helmets, Aneke. No, no, you don't need a helmet here.
Oh,
and
okay.
If you fall...
It's just all soft, straight to start.
The community will come to your rescue. There'll be, like, a little...
There's, like, a little Dutch boy there to catch you.
Yes, absolutely. Frederick, he will come and come to your aid. And the ground's all just super soft.
Oh.
It's just perfect here. Jerome also just had his housewarming party, so it was really cool. I have my own life here now, so
I had friends
that I was able to invite, and
Whoa.
I helped him do all like the cooking. He's a very talented chef, and he made all the stuff from scratch, spring rolls, like 8 different hummuses, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, it was really nice. I mean, it's just like, I'm just European now at this point.
Oh.
I have a European lifestyle over here.
I know, everybody's... You're not European, by the way.
Wait, what? Well, not yet.
Oh, shit. Someone's planning a move.
Listen, if Donald Trump wins, this marriage clock is just ticked up a beat. I am out of the country.
That's where he wants.
I'm out.
He
I can't do it.
He wants us to leave.
Trump for Stump Girls, you win. I'm done. Linda Tripp, I'll never see you again. But just know I'm watching from all the way over here.
Oh, my God. Well, we're having El Nino right now,
by
the way.
Oh, that sounds exotic and sexy.
We're all blowing away in a storm.
Ooh.
I drove through a lake.
Okay.
One street turned into a lake yesterday.
Not a good idea.
So I'm...
Wait, you literally just turn. La da 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 da.
Whoa. That's kind of what happened. I was like driving really fast from a party that I thought we were joking that we were going to have to stay in the house for the rest of our lives because it was like torrential rain out there.
Okay.
And then I finally decided to brave it.
Yes,
and I was driving
there.
Through this normal street that I normally drive through at like top speeds. And the next thing you know, it was like a waterfall on both sides of my car.
Oh,
it was
God.
The scariest shit in my life, I'm telling you. But exciting.
Oh, yeah. So it's a little you're having a thrilling adventure over there. You're having torrential rain pour El Nino. And I'm just, you know, having some light snow, a little powder of snow, and hosting dinner parties over here with all the world travelers of Amsterdam.
El Nino!
Be careful, girl. That sounds dangerous. Shall we go to the corner?
Let's do it. James.
Touch my nipples. Touch my nipples. Get them, get them. Oh, they're hot and hard.
That escalated very quickly.
Well, I'm in Amsterdam, Aneke. It's the land of just, you know, do as you will, sexual, sexy.
Even little Dutch children in clogs.
Kids got to learn early. Get them in their clogs. Have them touch their nipples. We all got them.
What about the tulips? Oh, have you seen any tulips?
I haven't. It's still kind of winter here. I was here in winter, and now I'm back. But we did see some windmills and some greenhouses. Jerome and I went, and they were green and windmill-y.
That's very Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
It was really pretty. It was nice.
So.
Uh-oh. That took a turn. Things got really serious all of a sudden. Everybody get ready. Hold on to your butts. She's about to drop the mic. She's actually just done. She's like, mic drop,
I just
drop,
kind of like
done.
Gurgled. I know. I just hit it over.
I'm over.
I'm tired.
I'm already done. She's probably,
have a good day, James.
She's probably just going to pass out right now in the middle of this interview. Wait, just
my
done.
Snoring slowly gets louder and louder through it.
And I just keep trying to do the episode without you.
Okay, so as you know, I am in the Bay Area. And the Bay Area
in the
is
Bay.
Known for its stupid tech industry.
Tech stuff. But in a lot of rushes. It's known for all of its rushes. You had the gold rush. There was a prostitution rush. .com boom. And the...
I feel like the whole world is known for prostitutes. It's the oldest profession.
Oh, no, but especially San Francisco. Like, there was the
did
great hooker rush of the 1940s,
did we have a prostitution rush?
Yes, do you not remember?
I'm imagining all these hoochies.
The great prostitution rush. They had to get over
gotta
there.
Gotta make some money with my private parts.
That's right. I mean, the times
it's all
were
over
tough.
There.
It's the money's all over there on the West Coast. I gotta get there. There's gold and then prostitutes. So San Francisco, you've had it all.
Yes, I believe so. It was, movement.
It was a big movement.
Yeah, but we always remember a young Bertha McGillicuddy.
Oh, who could forget Bertha McGillicuddy? She was really the pioneer. She was the revolutionary of the great prostitution rush.
1935.
That's right, 1935, that's when it was, yes. And in fact, Christina Aguilera's Lady Marmalade hairdo was all inspired of Bertha McGillicuddy. We had to get back. We had to really, you
know. Very Moulin Rouge.
Very Moulin Rouge. Bertha McGillicuddy, ahead of her time, really.
This has been a Minority Corner history segment.
Do-do-do-do.
Da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
Constitution.
So, I am in the tech industry space. I am not in, technically, the tech industry. I am a librarian, but I'm living in it. I'm waiting in it. I'm just...
Titty deep. You all up in it.
Titty deep. So, one thing that a lot of people notice is that the tech industry is not diverse.
I've noticed.
And
yeah,
does not have a lot of people of color in it, and it does not have a lot of women in it.
Nope.
So, I kind of wanted to just talk about these issues and maybe get down to the reasons maybe why it's that way.
Okay.
And when you investigate why it's that way, it might lead you to an answer of how to fix it. You know what I mean?
Fantastic. I love it. So you're going to just sort of probe the situation here. You're going to probe it a little and then maybe just sort of tickle a solution out of it.
I mean, who knows?
So,
but we'll see
where we go with this. Probe and tickle. We're going to probe and tickle our way
probe it,
through the
tickle
situation.
It, and just cherish the day.
Cherish the day. Cherish the day. A little probe and tickle, tickle.
One fact that I was able to uncover is that the fact of people of color are the fastest growing users of smartphones and social media. According to research...
Fuck yeah. Way to go, people of color. High five.
Yay!
Minority Corner, high five.
Using
that technology.
According to researchers, people of color are more likely to use technology to keep up with what's happening in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So we are... the top users of the things that Silicon Valley is essentially creating.
Huh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, look at us. We're using technology to create this podcast around the world.
We have, like, 1,000 different technologies.
You guys have no idea. There's so many things and wires and cords and smoke signals and pigeons flying around,
like,
to connect all of this.
Getting this set up was like a dog and pony show. I have to applaud us both.
No way. Satellites.
I was miming at you at one point.
She was. There was no sound. There was no audio. I just had a necky titty in my face and cords all over the place. It was crazy. And just across the ocean.
How many oceans? So many. Okay, so just to kind of break down some percentages women of color that are in the tech industry. Okay. So it's a little bit old, but
I'm sure it's
not changing that much. But in 2011, white women made up 17% of the industry.
17%.
That's like...
Well, I mean, women only make
not,
up, what,
not that great.
20% of, you know, the world population?
Yeah, but in a...
I'm just kidding. Like, that, I don't think
it's 20% of the population, James.
I know.
This country would be...
I'm just kidding. I can't believe I thought you were actually really going with me on that one. No, I know. So, yes, the tech industry should reflect more women in it. That's
thank you for
a
leading.
Dumb percentage.
So that's stupid. So, and that's white women.
Oh.
Black women. So the next group after 17% of white women, which is not very much that are in the industry.
Not at all.
The second highest group is Asian women.
Okay.
Guess what percentage you would think?
Oh,
they
God.
Are. If white women are at 17%, what are Asian women at?
Sadly, I'm going to, I guess, lowball this. And 8%? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with 8%.
Close. Half that, 4%.
Okay, why are you excited about that? I thought you were going to surprise me with, like, a higher number. That's not a good number.
Yay, it's 10. Nope.
Nope.
4%.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. What about black women?
Black women were at 3%.
Why are you sounding happy about this? This is not good news.
I don't know
news.
Why I was so
oh,
happy
God.
About that. That's
oh,
sad.
Lord. Okay. I don't want to go on any further already. It's such a small amount, and it must be like those like handful of black women know each other.
Right. And Hispanic women?
Like 1%?
1%.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sadly right.
And then Yay. Native American women.
Oh,
you
God.
You ready for this?
Negative. I bet it's like negative 50%.
Not negative.
Oh, okay.
But
I would imagine it's probably negative.
Every
they
year the tech
take
industry takes away.
That's right. They like, you know, hire them and then they take the jobs
so
away.
Sad.
History
But Native
itself.
American women make up 0.1% of the okay. women in color
I
in
mean,
tech.
It's probably like one woman. There's like one Native American woman there running around holding it down.
So we're working on some low ass numbers.
Like, so why?
I don't, we'll get into
okay.
that.
All right.
So let's just kind of see what, well, here's one of the reasons why. So, Arisha Smith, she's the founding principal okay. of Idyllic Interactive, a digital marketing agency in Dallas, Texas. Side note, tech job names are the kookiest shit in my life. Like, I'm a librarian. You're an actor, performer, dancer. What is a principal of Idyllic Interactive, a digital marketing agency? Like, come on, guys.
Well, I think it's about, obviously, Aneke, it's about ideas that you lick.
Sure.
Interactively.
At this
and
point,
so you have an idea.
I will
and
go
you
with it.
Lick it up, and it's interactive.
Why licking?
Because that's how you really soak in ideas,
oh,
right?
Ooh.
You really soak it in by you lick in the idea.
No, look at you getting punny. That's
well, you know me. I'm a European punster.
So she's a woman of color, and she has been quoted as saying, "It's always an uphill battle. It's almost like hazing or jumping in until people see what you're made of. They're going to try you."
Damn. I can't imagine working in that sort of environment. It's like what Papa Pope said on Scandal.
What did he say?
He said, "You gotta work twice as hard to get half as much."
It's kind of true. Mm-hmm. It's kind of true. I always remember like being told by my parents that I need to put a better face forward at my job because of they're gonna expect less of me, which is terrible.
Right, yes,
but it's
absolutely.
The truth, right. And that's kind of how it goes. She continues and says, Smith says that companies have effective recruitment programs, but the problem is retention. So these companies are trying to do the Band-Aid and just quick fix by recruiting and going out and getting women of color, people of color. But when they get
them
one,
there.
They're usually underpaid and undertitled.
Yes.
And then they're hazed and treated poorly by the people that are there.
Right.
And then, of course, you're going to leave. You're going to be like, this is hella bootsy. I'm leaving.
This is not for me. These people hate me. They're not inviting me to their, you know, mixers or their kickball games or whatever it is. So, yeah, like, you... It's not enough just to get someone there. You have to keep them there and show them
right.
that there is a place for them there.
Exactly.
This actually reminds me, at UCSC, where we went to college, they had a very similar problem, or just this huge, another hurdle, mm-hmm. too, with retention. Like, it's one thing to get minorities and people of color there, but it's another thing to actually, you know, keep them there and have programming mm-hmm. there for them, because they're in there in such small numbers. And that's why Don Williams, who we spoke about last week, who he started Rainbow Theater as a way to help with retention by creating an art space for people of color to be able to mm-hmm. talk, to speak their voices. And because, again, it's one thing to get them there, but you've got to do another thing to keep them there.
Which is so true. And I'm glad that you brought up the college point, because there, one, you're bringing up the point that we need to, when at work, at the job place, when you have different populations, you need to support them. But also, a lot of the biggest problems that stem from this have to do with college, and it is how many people of color are actually one, in college programs, two, going to the colleges that are highly recruited from,
right,
and what stems from that. So I have some facts on that. So that was like an awesome lead-in. Thank you very much, James.
You're welcome. It's like I got that like Raven thing going on, you know? Just call me Raven.
I was
going
to say we have a mind connection meld, but whatever. You can deny that connection.
Well, or maybe both, you know, mind meld.
Okay, and I'm a Raven. When you're looking at colleges, a lot of the main degree in this field is computer science, BA in computer science.
Okay.
So the average of BAs in computer science, 4% were black.
Okay, so we're already off to a bad start.
Yep.
So they're already not even...
5% were Hispanic.
Okay.
And then, so of students that got a master's degree in computer science...
Yes.
Only 2%... were of the students were black or Latino.
Only 2%.
So.
Oh, wow. So they're not even there to even get the education to go into a field like this. So
exactly.
It's already being starting off at a disadvantage.
Right. So one, the pool of people of color with the degree to get into the jobs is very low to start off with.
Right. Clearly. Look at those numbers.
And then there's this other thing that this this one Indian American entrepreneur, he has written a lot about race and gender in entrepreneurship. And I bring up entrepreneurship because a lot of these apps and techs and things are
they're startups.
Like funded by, yeah, startups is basically an entrepreneur life.
Right.
His name is Vivek Wadhawa.
Okay.
I'm saying that wrong. I'm totally sorry.
That's okay.
You're
amazing. We appreciate
guy.
You. Thank you for what you've done.
So he writes, it's all about networking and mentorship, which are the most important ingredients in entrepreneurial success. And people of color are missing that ingredient. It's much harder for them to succeed. They have to reinvent the wheel because tech hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, basically, if you get the degree, you're surrounded by the people
right.
who can then show you and get the internships, know the people, hand pump, stuff like that.
Hand
right?
pump?
So
wait.
We're missing that.
Oh, so they're
and
not learning hand pumping?
They're
in university, they're
you know,
not
like
learning.
Like a handshake, hand pump.
Okay.
Pump a hand.
I thought,
pump some hands.
Why does he call it that? I thought, like, in graduate school, they're not learning how to hand pump. Like,
yes.
Pump your hand.
You didn't know that? You missed that class?
No, I didn't go to that class. Apparently, I missed it. Hand pumping class. No wonder I'm not in the tech industry. I missed hand pump class. If you can't hand pump, you're not in the club. You can't.
Okay. So, aside from that connection of having the degree, there's also this thing called pattern matching. So, pattern matching is basically a stereotype that people look for in the industry.
Right.
Like, a bad one would be librarians. People tend to think that a librarian is an old white lady in glasses with a bun and some squeaky shoes with a cranky attitude, right?
No, and I know that to not be true because I know librarians to be, you know, like the one in Brooklyn that I met. She was black,
I'm
and she was
Highlander
young, and she
her.
Was hip, and she was
I'm gonna
cool.
Highlander
and,
her
well,
ass.
Okay, that's right. I forgot. Leave her alone. First of all, I like how you also got... You should see the look that you just gave me that I didn't mention you first, so...
James, I'm your number one black lady librarian, and don't you forget that.
I apologize. Please don't murder me. I remember. Well, no, she was like your lead-in. I wanted, you know, save the best for last. I was going to mention her and then bring in the real deal, which is you. So I was just...
That's a nice cleanup. I'll take it. That's good.
She was your hype person.
So pattern matching for the tech industry, I bet you could probably figure it out.
Young white dude, probably straight, glasses.
Yes.
Loves apps, loves Pokemon.
Usually disheveled. And
disheveled.
And also, and I'm not even joking, this is like technically what they said.
That's in the description, disheveled. No, I don't believe it. Disheveled.
And you dropped out of college.
And you dropped out of college.
You get all my money.
Stop it.
That's usually what happens.
Now, I can't even imagine.
No, I'm dead serious.
Could you imagine if you were, like, you know, a black woman and you showed up, like, disheveled, dropped out of college and was like, hey, can I have a job?
I wouldn't even be able to get welfare tickets if that was me. That, hell
can
no.
Can I get money? No.
You kidding me?
You were out. No one's giving you anything. They're probably just take things away from you.
I got to put my hats on. I got to put my gloves on. gloves
all
on.
All seven hats.
I gotta put my tap shoes on.
Put them all on and get ready to perform. You gotta look your Sunday best. Get it all on.
Come in with a briefcase and a PowerPoint presentation.
You're have it all. There's no time to be
and
disheveled.
And I still didn't get the job.
Yeah, they just gave it to Tommy over there. He had a grease stain from McDonald's on his pants.
So this was NYC web developer Eric Hamilton described a time when he presented in front of 45 investors, some of which were black, too. So we discriminate against our own.
No, we need to give love to each other.
He was totally ignored.
Ignore it. Like they weren't even paying. Right after, they weren't even paying attention to his presentation.
Yeah, like they didn't even turn their backs. Listen to him.
He's presenting for his life, looking amazing, and they're just like tweeting and looking around.
And then right after him was a disheveled young man, white man, who captivated the investors, especially when he mentioned that he might be dropping out of college.
Stop it! People turn their heads. They're like, serious. Look at this disheveled young man who's dropping out of college. Here's all my money. Here
and
you go,
like,
young.
Yeah. Yes.
Look at him. He's disheveled and dropping out of college. Here's my money.
So on top of the whole dropping out of college thing, Reuters, which is like, you know, think tank kind of, they do research stuff, points out that grads from Harvard, Stanford, and MIT are more likely to get funded by venture capitalists, right?
Okay.
Here's the breakdown of the...
No, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know the breakdowns of these. I mean, this is very similar to Hollywood and its bullshit racism. That it's the people who are at the top who are making the decisions. If they're all the same, they're all, you know, these white dudes.
Yep.
And they just keep giving opportunities to those same people and to tell those same stories that reflect them. And
exactly.
So if they're not changing the inner structure of it, of course, the rest of it's not going to change. I mean, that's why I love watching How to Get Away with Murder, and Jerome's loving it too, because we're looking at it and there's such diversity on it. And earlier we were trying to watch, you know, Under the Dome, and there was like
all white people. I know.
One black lesbian and all white people. And I just like, ugh, I can't do it. I can't.
I feel like they always try and smash it in too. They go, oh, she's disabled, she's black, and she's a lesbian. Done. Sorry. So the undergrad admission for those schools, the average of them are, the highest is Asian Americans.
Okay.
18%.
Yay.
Which.
18%. Okay.
Doing all right. But it also explains why there is a higher number of Asian Americans in the tech industry.
True.
Right after that are Hispanics.
Okay. Wow. They beat us.
9%.
Okay.
So it's a huge drop. It's like, drop.
Significant drop off the cliff in numbers. And it's like nobody wins this.
Nobody's winning. And then after that is African Americans.
Okay.
6%.
Oh.
Even low.
That's not good.
And then American Indians at 1%.
Well, that's an uptick from the 0.1% that we saw earlier. So.
Yeah, and remember.
Way to go.
These are just people. We're not separating it out the women.
Oh, the numbers are even worse for that, I'm sure. Like, damn near
even way more dismal and lower.
I don't want to know. Please don't tell me those numbers. Well, it's obviously that women don't know how to use technology. They wouldn't know what to do with it.
Blah, blah, blah. So stupid. So basically, I like to bring up these numbers because, one, it's showing that it isn't just the tech industry. It is starting from the earlier levels of college and probably before that, high school. So we need to...
Maybe before that. Yeah, they're probably not getting opportunities or not, you know, having computers in their classes.
Right.
In their schools.
And so anybody who wants to argue against affirmative action, this is your point right here. You get more people of color in college, your workforce will automatically become more diverse.
Funny how that works.
And then if you have these students, the flip side, white students, male students that are more around women, more around people of color, the workplace will be less of a hostile zone for people of color and women to come into, because these people will already have been used to working and living and studying with a variety of different people.
Absolutely.
So it has to start early. Not that hard to be diverse. I have to give a shout out to my friend Adam, because he told me a story at that one party where we almost floated away in the storm.
Oh, yes.
And it was the best story.
El Nino.
Yeah.
El Nino. It was Linda Tripp storm.
Linda Tripp.
Yeah, can we name this El Nino just Linda Tripp 2016? It's like the 90s. It She's just coming back.
So here's the story, and it's really sweet, and it just goes to show how easy it is to, one, overlook diversity, and two, reconcile it.
Okay.
So my friend Adam, he's an illustrator, and he has two sons that are at this, well, one son that's at a preschool, and they do, like, co-op stuff, and they're doing, like, a spaghetti bake. Ooh. And he did yummy. The flyer for it. And so he wanted to do the flyer like the Superman comic, the, like, Action Comics number one, where Superman is, like, holding up a car and saving people.
Okay.
But instead he made, like, a generic kind of superhero guy holding up a plate of spaghetti and a bunch of kids running around looking all excited about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So his wife, Stephanie, she saw it and
hey,
she goes,
Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, guys.
And I know Adam,
really
too.
Asked permission to tell this story, but.
Well, here it is. Anyways. Airing their laundry out. Adam, who's in a band, was there to witness our amazing karaoke version of Salt and Pepper's Push It.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
You and I worked it out, and he, I remember, because he's in a band, so I wanted to, like, impress him, but I feel like I blew him away. I feel like he was going to be my karaoke manager after that and tour us around.
Push It is the longest song to do for karaoke, by the way.
Oh, but speaking of Adam, I just recently saw him in a movie where him and his band, I think they were in Rent.
Oh.
They were in... yes, so I had Jerome and my other best friend, Gavin, was in town, and we watched Rent, and...
he's in it?
Yeah, he's in, like, the band scene, but, like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Of course, Rent is, like, such a sad movie. Rent is such a sad movie, and at the end of it, they were all just, like, tears, you know, just hugging each other, and they were like, you didn't tell us that the movie was going to be sad. Like, I just was like, let's watch a musical about, you know, just watching a musical. It's called Rent. They're like, oh, is it about people trying to pay their rent? And it's just all kinds of things.
That's weird, because I feel like everybody knows about Rent here in America. Like, it's like...
Did it make it over here into Europe? But it's such a beautiful movie. It's sort of uplifting in the end, but it's about, you know, love and no day but today.
Oh, crazy.
Live for now.
Okay, so just to finish the story, he drew his cartoon and all the kids were there, and Stephanie came to look at it, the cartoon, and she was like, everybody's white. And
she
he
just
goes,
just, like, looked
what?
At it just like that.
I didn't even... And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well... You know, it's the, I guess I was in the cover of Action Comics, everybody was white, so I just drew it like that.
Yeah,
she goes, well,
2016.
It's not that time anymore. Yeah. And it's, you know, and so what he did was just go in and he colored one of the kids in and boom.
Oh, wow.
Diversity.
That's
it's
done.
Easy.
That easy. Oh, my God. Well, technically, isn't that what Donald Trump did? He just colored in that white woman and made her black. And
he did, but he does it for
diversity.
Evil. He did it, but did it for evil. That's, you
it's
know
true.
What? That's a good point. If Donald Trump can color in somebody for diversity, why can't the rest of us
that's
for
true.
Good
if
and
he
not
can,
for evil?
Yes. If he could do, if he could create diversity for evil, then we, everybody can rally up and just create some good ass diversity. If Donald Trump can do it, everybody can do it.
What's wrong with the rest of us?
Yes. Everybody needs to step
and I think
the
that's
fuck
a good
up.
Point to end my corner.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Aneke.
You're welcome.
Well, coming up next, we're going to go into the history of queer fabulousness, so get ready, y'all.
Ooh.
Queer fabulousness, ooh la la, ooh la la. Queer fabulousness all throughout history, ooh la la, ooh la la. You're fabulous, you're fabulous, ooh la la.
That was great. I meant it. Thanks.
You guys missed all my dance moves.
I know. I got to see it.
Ooh
it was
la,
quite delightful.
Fabulous, fabulous.
Ooh la la, ooh la la, fabulous.
Ooh
la
la,
ooh
la
la,
la,
la
fabulous.
La.
I'm fabulous, damn it. I'm fabulous, damn it.
Damn it.
I'm fabulous.
Damn it. Damn it.
Aneke, you're just saying, damn it. Like, there's other words to it.
Damn
it's
it.
It's actually, okay, all right, Aneke,
I'm
calm
done.
Down.
I'm done.
It's actually, anymore? It's actually Bette Midler. She has a song called
I
fabulous.
Love Bette Midler.
Like, I'm fabulous,
I love
damn
her.
It. Loving her. Bette Midler, just queen of fabulousness, leading the charge for everybody to be fabulous. We love you. Can't love you enough. So I wanted to do a piece that was going to be uplifting this week. Okay. And to celebrate just queerness and queer history, even though no, it's Black History Month. But I wanted to celebrate our history and that we've been fabulous for a long, long time, queer people, for ages. We have been around from the get-go. It is nothing new about us. And
I am going to bust it up
and show y'all some history that we have been fabulous.
P.S. Everybody is missing your amazing hand flourishes that you've been y'all doing are missing with everything. It. I'm into it. Yes.
I got a hand cramp.
Ugh, it's okay. Yeah.
So yes, but the Huffington Post did a love letter essentially to queer people.
Yeah. HuffPo.
So in talking about queer history, I wanted to do this for all my queers out there. Okay. And also our allies who are out there listening to educate y'all about our history and some of our wonderful accomplishments and all the things that we've done. Hello, newsflash. Queer people, it's nothing new. We didn't just pop out of the sky. We've been around since the beginning.
It's true.
So I just wanted to read a little letter that it starts off with.
Clear that throat. Oh my God, it's raining so hard.
Oh, we got snow over here. Oh, I can hear the pitter-patter of rain. Okay, here we go. Dearest queer person, chances are you don't even know that you are holy or royal or magic, but you are. You are part of an adoptive family going back through every generation of human existence.
Oh snap, look at that.
Yes, exactly. So basically, we've been doing dope shit since the dawn of man, giving y'all way more than just dope fashions, fun catchphrases, and making you look on fleek on your wedding day.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
It even goes back to, if you think about it, we've got Alan Turing, who was the inventor of the computer. There was that movie with
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Alan Turing, gay man, invented the computer. Yes, so you have Alan Turing to thank for your computer and your porn box, essentially, is what I would call it.
Oh, I don't look at porn on my computer.
You don't look at porn on your computer? Well, what do you use it for?
I don't know what porn is.
Ugh. Please. Weren't you looking for Donald Trump's dick pics earlier? let's be honest here, okay? Oh, that's right, because you're a librarian. You just go into the Dewey Decimal System, right? You just look at these little cards and you just pick them up and you're like, oh, there it is. There's the penis. Isn't that what you do in libraries?
Wow, you really need to get your library card.
I'm confused. We also have Alberto Santos Dumont. He was a pioneer in aviation.
Oh, cool. When was that?
Okay, I don't have the dates or facts about this. Please stop fact checking me. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Get out of here. You're like exposing my research. Okay, I didn't do it. Okay, I don't know. Don't ask me dates. Okay. Don't ask me times. Just take in the gay fabulousness, okay? Just say, ooh, yay, awesome.
I'll get my responses ready.
We also have Lynn Conway and Martina Rothabot. They're two transgender women who are still alive today.
Ooh, yeah.
And you can thank them for robots and microprocessors because they were innovative leaders.
Yes, I heard about that. And one of them, her partner before... She created one of the first AIs in the likeness of her partner, who is a Black woman.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's two transgender women making it so we can have like robots and AI. And
dope ass shit.
Some dope ass shit. So thank you. And if you even look at it, the co-founder of Facebook and CEO of Apple, gay. All right? So we everywhere.
It's our
doing
body.
Dope ass fabulous shit. Because we HBICs, head bitches... in charge.
Oh,
or
yeah, I love it.
HGBICs had gay bitches in charge.
You gotta add a G in there.
So we're gonna go back in more historical ancient times, which is the technical word for that time period. Going back to the Greek time period, where you had, even in their gods and goddesses, sexuality was much more fluid.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily have the terms that we have today in terms of like gay or bisexual or transgender or anything like that. These sort of sexualities and genders were more fluid. Hermaphrodite, who was the child of Aphrodite and Hermes.
Oh, okay.
See how that happens, yeah.
Oh, Hermes and Aphrodite. Oh my God, I just made the connection that Hermes and Aphrodite.
Yes, exactly. And Hermaphrodite, there's actually the statue of Hermaphrodite in the Louvre. And my French friend, she was like, go look at the statue. And I did. And from the back, it's this beautiful woman. And in the front, there's a penis. So it was someone of mixed gender right there.
I love it.
Even Athena and Zeus, those gods, they were having all kinds of gay sex. They were just doing it up. They couldn't get enough gay sex. So even in their gods and deities, did they have that? And even go into Japanese culture, we had Shinu Nuharafuru and Ama Nuhafuri.
Just say yes.
They were said to have introduced homosexuality into the world. And it wasn't like a bad thing. It wasn't like, fuck
you all.
They were
just like, here you go.
Yeah. It's like, here, have this. You need this. So thank you. And there were the Hindu deities who had the ability to change their gender and to claim an identity that was encompassed genders that weren't common amongst them. So it was seen as a good thing to be able to have multiple genders. And even if you go to the Australian outback, the aboriginals of Australia had this rainbow serpent god called Ungad and Amanagungi, who possessed characteristics that would be known today as transgender.
Ooh.
So, you know, us as queer folks, we have the ability to defy gender binaries. We don't conform ourselves. And it was considered as a special gift in other cultures and not something to be feared or scared of. And in some cultures, we were shamans, we were healers, we were leaders. Mm-hmm. And even in Native American cultures here in the U.S., what wasn't the U.S. before, but in Santa Barbara, they called them jewels. In the Native Americans of Santa Barbara call them jewels. And in some cultures they were looked at as, you know, two spirit people.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or non-gender binary identities were part of 88 Native American tribes from the Apache, the Aztec, the Cheyenne, the Crow, the Maya, and the Navajo. And there could be actually more, but there's no written record of them, and their cultures were completely wiped off the face of the earth.
So devastating.
In other cultures, you know, transgender or queer people, they were looked at as a great gift, and they were celebrated, and they were leading these communities, which is hugely different than from today. And I think in a lot of ways, I mean, these are people who were so free with their sexuality and who they were, and they weren't repressed, which I think you're seeing in a lot of today's cultures. You're seeing a lot of people who are repressing themselves in whatever way that is. And these are people who are liberated and free to be able to hold the two genders. It's kind of a beautiful thing. Then we had, and then in a different time period, we had Queen Christina of Sweden, who she was in, I don't know which time, modern-y day times, like 1700, 1800?
Yeah,
I don't know. Don't ask me these questions. Okay. I don't know. I don't know these dates and times.
I'm restraining.
But modern isn't that like modern-y times? She was the modern lady? I don't know.
Yeah, people usually consider that modern-ish.
But Queen Christina, she was of Sweden.
Hey, girl.
And she was like, hell no. I ain't getting married to no man. And so she took on a male name. She took on a male name, and she set off on a horseback to explore Europe.
That sounds tight. Get it, girl.
And her tutor said she was not at all like all a female. She was not at all like a female.
Okay, nosy-ass tutor. Get out of here.
Yeah, that tutor, you need to kind of get out of here. But Queen Christina...
Who made you the authority?
Yeah, okay. Run along, tutor. Enough of that. You know, it kind of reminds me of Beauty and the Beast, right? Where everybody's, like, gossiping about Belle, right? And just because she's trying to be her own person. Like, she's a beauty but a funny girl, Christina. She's a lesbian, but she's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, that song was just a bunch of nosy-ass, bored people in the neighborhood talking about poor-ass Belle trying to live her life.
She's just trying to read a book, y'all. And they're like, she's
weird.
Could
you get an education?
God, that Belle, she's weird. She's
weird.
She doesn't want to get married.
What a carrying books.
What is wrong with her?
Oh, no, that one... That one queen likes to ride a horse and wear pants.
Oh, did you hear about her? Oh, Queen Christina.
Didn't want to get married.
Woman. What is wrong with her, weirdo? Let's sing a song about her. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, moving on. The next one we have is Nzingia of the Nandungo and Mana Kingdoms.
Oh, you're still going. Okay.
It's hard. We just say Angola, okay? The area is now known as Angola, exactly. They were perceived to be biologically female, and they dressed up as dudes and had a harem of men dressed as traditional females and were dressed as kings. So they were just taking gender into a blender and just being
fuck it all, we're doing this the way we want to do this thing.
They just took gender in a blender, fucked it up. And then you even have Emperor...
That's chill.
Yeah, and then you even have Emperor Al-Gabas. Al-Gabas held marriage ceremonies to both male and female spouses, and when he was and when he was made up in cosmetics, he would sometimes like hit on dudes.
Yeah.
So he was married to both men and women, and then he'd be like all like, you know, dressed up, and he'd be like, "Hey, I'm pretty right now. Come and kiss me."
that's how he would.
That's how he would do it.
Hey,
what up, asshole? Look at me. Ain't I cute? Make out with me. So he was being a dope ass king, and he didn't care. He whatever he wanted.
I really, really wish that quote you lifted from an academic journal.
Academia. I don't write this stuff in that game. I didn't write history.
Hey asshole, don't I look pretty? I'm an emperor.
Kiss me.
Oh. Take your pants off.
Yes, exactly.
Just don't kill me. Wee. Okay.
Hey, I'm pretty. Kiss me. Pretty hurts.
I love it. This is the best thing ever. This is so
important.
It's good.
Okay. There's also Calphasis of Cordoba, including Hisham the Second, Abdar Ar-Rahman the Third, and Al-Hakam.
Oh, here we go again.
The Second. They kept male harems, sometimes in addition to female harems, and sometimes actually in place of them. So, there's just a lot.
Oh, okay. So just a lot of people hanging out, just waiting to get sexed.
Exactly.
And
sometimes they're just like, all right, let's just have some dudes. All right, no, not dudes. Let's get the ladies in. back to the dudes. Now everybody. So it just kind of had this like rotation of whatever they wanted to fuck.
Wait, can I pause you for a second? That? Because this is, I know we mentioned Ryan Christo every episode,
like,
but last time,
like a producing partner of this, you know.
Yeah, I know. Podcast. He's our producer.
Yeah. He needs to pay up then.
It's true. So
put some money on this.
He was listening to last episode and texting me at the same time.
I remember. Yeah. We're in the middle
He was. No. Like, he was listening to our episode and texting me.
About it. Oh, God. Yeah. What did he have to say?
And then he got into a terrible car accident.
Oh, from El Nino. What happened? Then he was texting and driving and then got into an accident in the middle of El Nino.
I'm bringing this up because we must have mispronounced some things again.
Surprise.
And he goes,
us?
I love listening to you guys. Every episode, it seems like you guys are struggling with a
name.
They're
so hard.
And I just love how you doubled down this episode. This episode, you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to do all
Somebody
of these
Somebody
phonetically
names. Spell
Ryan
it.
Christo,
this is
for
you,
you.
Ryan Christo. This is for you. And I have plenty more names to fuck up for you.
Stop it.
Okay. I'm going to fuck it up. So we have Da Vinci.
He was a wizard.
Yes. Da Vinci's one of ours. Da Vinci, all this shit that he created, you're in, like, they always put him in movies and they never talk about, like, he was doing some gay things.
They never
talk about that. And all the innovations
that's
that he
rude.
Had. Greta Garbo.
Yes.
Remember, throwing back to our old episode, Greta Garbo.
She had the death mask of what's-his-face. Who died while getting a BJ
BJ from his Vietnamese lover. And then Toks Filosofsky, the composer. We're also going to go ahead and claim, you know, we got Tom Cruise, we got Vin Diesel, we got House of Cards, what's his name?
You're going to claim Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I will claim, here's the thing, I do think he's cute. And he's so talented, and cute and talented, and all that couch jumping, he should have won an Oscar for that couch jumping moment. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, he's
House
not
of
out,
Cards. He's all up in that glass closet. And you know him and Meacham on House of Cards, they have his bodyguard. They have like that weird...
Remember, I never saw that scene. Oh. I still haven't seen it.
Okay.
There's a key scene.
There's a key scene that happens between him and his bodyguard. And in real life, they're actually hooking up. So you're welcome, y'all.
Ooh, you heard it here first. Gossip Corner from Minority Corner.
This just became a history gossip corner, actually. And we've also been, throughout time, badass warriors, queer people, okay? We've been badass fucking warriors.
Oh.
The Amazons, right? They were not going to devote their lives.
But were they real?
Hell yeah. Yes, they were. These badass ladies.
Oh, okay.
They were not going to devote their lives tending to the needs of no men. They were way more interested in doing brave acts than just being like, hey, baby, here's a cake. No. They're like, look at this. I just killed a boar.
Yeah.
And you cook it, you know. My also favorite badass group of warriors were the Men of Sacred Band of Thebes. The Men of Sacred Band of Thebes. Isn't that awesome?
It sounds cool. Sounds like a techno group.
So they were a group of 150 male couples around 4th century BCE, known to be especially powerful fighters because each man fought as though he was fighting for the life of his lover, which he was, because, you know, they were, you know, their partner was there fighting along with them, and it just made them even more badass because they needed to protect each other. So they were these fierce warriors.
This is nuts.
And they would get hired by, like, different kings. And
no, but here's, you know, but here's the thing that I had a hard enough time finding someone compatible for myself.
Right.
And I would imagine if I was, like, a warrior crazy person who likes to fight and, like, fucking be a warrior.
Right.
It would be a hard time to, one, let alone find another partner who
also
likes
to fight and fuck.
And then also like me.
Yes.
And then, on top of that, find how many, like, 400 like-minded couples?
Yes, to 150. To also love each other, love your couple, and fight and fuck. And, yeah, what's the meetup like that?
Like how did they do that with technology?
Yeah, that's a hard one to organize. But they found each other. Doesn't that sound hot?
Yeah, it sounds hella hot. Yeah, are you kidding me? I just sit there on the sideline eating popcorn. You guys don't want me.
Just watching us fight and fuck and love each other. Sounds like the hottest thing ever. I would love, actually, Jerome and I would love us to start.
I don't know if I condone you becoming a crazy warrior.
Yeah, no. I would love to be with my guy, and we're just part of this band, and we're just running around.
I wouldn't know what to do. The beginnings of Minority Corner would be very elaborate. It'd
be very different.
Well, today I chopped off some heads and defended my love of Jerome.
I chopped off this head today, Aneke. And I'm so in love. And I chopped off this head.
And be like, oh, I sat at a library desk.
Did you? I chopped off someone's arm defending my lover. But this group of men were just so, they were badass. And I'd like to bring them back. But we also have been peacekeepers because we have Bayard Rustin.
Oh, wow.
He was a civil rights activist and he was the right hand of Dr. King.
Oh, wow.
He actually organized the Million Man March.
Nice.
And he's actually often cut out of history. Bayard Rustin, black guy, activist, and he wasn't even in the movie Selma. He was cut from that.
That's,
you know,
bullshit.
But he's a huge part of history. I just feel like you hear all the time that you hear, you know, homosexuality is un-African or that there were no homosexuals in Iran.
Yeah.
It's bullshit because we've been around from all of time. It just was maybe called different things throughout time. It's by different cultures.
Hello, it's there.
And even dating back to same-sex marriages have always existed too in other cultures. In Mesopotamia and in ancient Egypt, they discovered tombs of couples showing their unions. But these unions were recognized by the kingdoms.
That's good.
And in Mesopotamia, they had documents that existed of a variety of different marital practices, including male lovers of kings and polyandry. Right. And so we're seeing that there were not restrictions of same-sex marriages in ancient early civilizations. Plato's Symposium, he even talks about, describes instances of homosexual attraction and same-sex relationships in ancient Greece, which we talked about. There was no condemnation. Same-sex interaction is viewed on Greek artwork for further evidence that you can see. And it was held as, like, equal statuses within same-sex marriages or unions were recognized as equal relationships, but it was mostly done with higher class of people because, you know, it's also kind of seen as a elite status if you could even, you know, be queer.
Money and power.
Because the slaves weren't really having these sort of unions.
And
men in their 20s to 30s would actually mentor young men. And there would be a courtship ritual between them, so they'd have to court the younger men. And it was actually considered that male-to-male interaction and attraction was actually a sign of masculinity. So it was sort of a rite of passage. Mm. And so there would even be educational unions between student and pupils. Oh. There was these a lot of mentorship, and male-male relationships were a hugely praised thing. And it wasn't the same way. Again, they didn't have words like gay, bisexual, transgender the way that we view them now. There was just a lot more fluidity, like we talked about earlier. And it wasn't universal in Greek culture, not all Greek cultures, but there were many. Main considerations in same-sex relationships were love, beauty, and excellence of character rather than gender. And so just wanting to show just in general that it's bullshit to thinking that, you know, when religious people talk about marriage being between man and a woman, and that's historically what it is, that's not true.
Yeah, it's bullshit. You're proving it that it's bullshit.
Because there are examples all throughout history of that not being the case. And, you know, the thing that came in and ruined a lot of this sort of freedom or these moralistic ideas, it came from Christianity. Like, Christianity swept in, it came in through, you know, it took over Rome, and it has had such a huge influence on all cultures because, as you'd seen, the Hindus hadn't had necessarily a thing against it, but, you know, these morals and these ideas start to sweep around the world, and it has influences all across the way.
Oh,
whereas
totally.
Before, these cultures didn't look negatively on it beforehand. So you have, by the 4th century, you know, a lot of anxiety towards different ideas of sexuality,
right,
and fluidity of sexuality, and, you know, all the different, you know,
the Crusades,
and, you know, Napoleon comes rolling in, and they're bringing in their morals and their ideas and their religion behind it. And in talking about religion, and especially here, like in the U.S., how religion is so ingrained into the fabric of our country and culture. And I realized this when I was in England, and just traveling around in Europe, the religion has changed even here in Europe, that people are, you know, it's more so out of tradition, whereas in the U.S. it is like, you know, in God we trust. It's the pledge of allegiance. And if you think about it, it, you know, goes back to the Puritans, and they were the crazies of England. They were trying to escape religious persecution because people were like, y'all are fucking crazy. And they were like, no, we gotta get out of here. And so they went across, you know, to the Americas or to the U.S. and they were so intense, and they wanted to do crazy things. I mean, you have, you know, witch burnings that came out of this. And I would equate it to the same thing of, you know, if
they were intense.
It was
too much.
They were just a little too much. They were like, can you tone this down? And they're like, no, we gotta get out of here. And then they go over there and kill all the pilgrims.
With their buckle hats.
Their stupid buckle hats. And their shoes. And then their witch burnings. And it would be the same thing like if Mormons today got in a rocket ship and went up to Mars and started a new colony. That's what it would be like. So America was founded upon, like, by the crazies. And so it's so ingrained into our culture, our morals, our values, our ideas, and we don't realize how deep it actually is in our way of thinking about other people.
Are there still Puritans?
I hope not. I don't know. But, I mean, still, like, the very religious country.
No, but are there? I'm, like, legitimate. I'm,
I don't know. Someone
curious.
Tweet us. So everybody, we need to push back on all this bullshit. Everybody needs to queer it up a little bit, okay? Y'all need to just, you know, stop being so repressed, because I think that's why you have so many different warring countries and cultures, aside from the badass men of, you know, Thebes. We've been, our cultures have been taken over. Everybody needs to get some harems, you know, switch it up, put some makeup on, get pretty, put on a dress, put on some pants, whatever you need to do.
But one thing that you brought up is, like, a good point. Is how ingrained, like, people don't realize that, like, even going all the way back to the Puritans, that shit is in our culture. Like,
so in our culture.
No,
so many
all
effects.
Of the stuff that has happened in our culture since then is ingrained in us. So
and
it's
look
about
at it now.
Recognizing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And looking at, like, the Republicans,
so,
you know,
it's
everybody
true.
Runs to God on the Republican side. Or,
yes.
like, to get elected, you have to be somewhat religious in this country. Like, we are backing essentially religious leaders, and there's no separation of church and state. It's, like, it's bullshit. So I wanted to take some time to remind queer folks out there that we are badass, and to for allies to give us our prop, give us our props, give us our credit.
I'm giving you your props and giving you your credit. It is... It needs to be recognized.
We've been around for a long time. We ain't going nowhere.
It's so true.
And this is like nothing new. So I think we need to unpack some of the moral shit that's in our baggage. And I'm going to go join the merry band of thieves. I'm going to go wake up my boyfriend. And we're going to go around and love each other. Chop off some heads. And spread love.
Oh, all right. Just don't kill me, please.
Quizlet Corner. I got this week. All right, Aneke, get ready. I've got two quizzes for you this week. And so one of these is not true. Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. Two quizzes.
I'm ready.
One of these is not true. Here we go.
Okay, so just one.
Christian Bale believes that he was the best Batman that ever was, and there should be none thereafter.
Oh.
Could be true. Could not be true.
Okay.
Star Wars will have an openly gay character. Could be true.
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook isn't having any racism at his company. He's not having it. One of these is not true.
N-O. So that one's true. I know that because people have been crossing out Black Lives Matter and putting All Lives Matter, and he sent out an email and was like, You best not do that.
Way to go, Mark Zuckerberg. After Black Lives Matter had also met with him, anything is interesting because it talks about your thing that you're talking about in tech. So it kind of loops back to that.
I give him props for that. And then the Star Wars gay character is true because J.J. Abrams has said, you know, there's going to be one. Get over it, weirdos.
Yeah, of course. And if it's in a galaxy long, long time ago, galaxy far, far away. And as history has shown, as the future will show, of course there'd be gay people up in there. And I'm hoping it's Poe Dameron.
He's hot.
I want to see a love triangle between him, Daisy Ridley's character, and then what's that guy's name? The black stormtrooper, not really a stormtrooper.
Ray. Yeah.
So Ray and Finn and Poe Dameron. Because there's hints. There's little looks that
I believe
gives.
It.
So I'm hoping a love triangle because Poe Dameron is
and
so hot.
I hope that happens. And also, I don't know if you heard this, but Mark Hamill tweeted out. Someone said, like, Luke Skywalker, is he gay? And Mark Hamill said, you know what? I played him, so whatever your interpretation is of him is that.
Well, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably part of, like, the merry band of gay Thebes, Jedi Thebes. He's probably going around chopping off some heads, having some gay love, some gay sex, and,
he's a
you know,
part of the, what is it? What was that tribe?
The gay Thebes.
Yeah, band of Thebes.
The Jedi Thebes, yeah. So we'll take it. So
I love it.
So which one's not true?
So Christian Bale is a lie. That's the lie. That has to be the lie.
That is the lie. He's not a liar, but that is the lie. He actually thought he didn't quite nail it. He thought he didn't
really?
Quite nail Batman. Yeah, actually, he think he wanted it to be, I think, more Bruce Wayne to be more dark and broody. So
what?
Yeah, he thought that he didn't nail it. I think he thought as the trilogy as a whole it worked, but his personal Batman, I don't know, maybe he wanted to be more, you know, dark and broody. Like
that's crazy. He was like the most dark and broodiest Batman that there ever was.
He was so dark and broody. The broodiest of all the broodiest Batmans that will ever be. But he, I guess because he was more like, I am Batman and you will suffer. But he wanted to be more like, I am the Batman. You will suffer.
Can we just have an episode? Can you just do Batman accents for the rest of... It's the best. I'm
for
into.
The rest of the episode, the minorities need
die.
Some assistance. Queer gayness has been around since all of time. So good job, you won.
All right.
Yay.
All
right, so this next one is about Tony the Tiger. He's back. There's a series of new commercials that are sweeping the web, and they're going to bring the tiger out of you.
What?
Yes.
What?
But there's a little controversy around these. So there's
snap.
Four I'm going to read to you. One
they're
of them is not
great.
True. Yes, that they're great. They're going to bring the tiger out of you. Because they want to go for like a more adult approach, I guess, or something.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And the
yeah,
first
yeah.
one is about a prostitute.
Stop it!
She's...
No!
No, it's... let me finish. who's a prostitute, and she needs to go to work, but she's, you know, this guy's trying to hustle her out of some money. She doesn't feel like she can really do it. Tony the Tiger gives her a bowl of Frosted Flakes, and he's like, they'll bring out the tiger in you. And then she goes back to work, and she gives, like, you know, a great blowjob in the hotel.
Was this during the great prostitution rush of the 1930s?
Yes, actually, this is a callback. It was a callback to the great prostitution rush. Yeah, and it's all, this is a celebration of Bertha McGillicuddy. So it's a throwback to that. So that one could be true, could not be true.
Okay.
The next one is there's a crooked cop, and he's watching his partner beat this other guy, this guy that they're trying to arrest. Oh. He's like beating the shit out of him. And the other cop is just watching, and he doesn't know what to do. And then Tony the Tiger gives him a bowl of cereal, the Frosted Flakes, and he's like, they're great. And the guy eats them, and he's like, they'll bring the tiger out in you. And the guy eats it, and then he goes and he pushes his partner out of the way and just starts beating the shit out of the guy, like, even more.
What?
That's the other commercial.
No.
And then the third one is there's a woman. She's a suicide bomber.
What?
And she's going into this diner, and she's stressed out. She's stressed out. She doesn't know if she can do it. She's
one of
really
them.
Stressed out. She's in, yes, just one of these isn't true.
Are they frosted in crack?
No. It's sugar. So she's going into the diner, and she doesn't know if she can do it. She's really stressed out. And Tony the Tiger comes in. He gives her a bowl of cereal, and she's like, they're great. And they'll bring the tiger out, and you. And she eats it, and then the last thing you see, she's like, I'm going to do it. And everyone's like, oh my God, what's happening?
What?
She reveals the bomb, and the last thing you see is her pressing the button. So, and then the last one we have...
Have I fallen asleep? Is this, have I slipped into a coma? Is this real life?
It's very much real life. You're very much awake. This is reality.
What? So, These are terrible. I don't know. I feel like this is Sophie's Choice. Whichever one I pick is terrible.
Your reaction
And it speaks to my inner demon.
Yeah, of what you don't... Yes. So the last one is, a kid helps an old woman who's about to OD... across the street. One of these is not true.
I'm scared. I would say God, they're all so fucked up. I guess I would say the most fucked up one would be the suicide bomber. They're all so fucked up.
They're terrible.
They're all so fucked up.
They're so fucked up. I wanted to do a fun one.
It is you. Fun. No, I just, because my brain, I can't believe that these commercials exist. Yeah, well, okay, maybe the I don't know. At first, I was going to be like, yeah, the prostitution one, obviously, because we talked about it before. But then you just kept getting
it
darker.
Going. It just kept going.
It's like that The Wire. Like the Tony the Tiger one. In The Wire.
I think he's trying to get a new Netflix series. I think that's what this is. He's just trying to get on Netflix.
It's like the Netflix show of Tony the Tiger. House
Shit
of Cards.
Gets dark. Tony, they're really going for that adult audience, I guess, trying to get them to eat their cereal.
Which one is it?
A kid helps an old woman who's about to OD across the street. That one's not. That one's the fake one.
Really?
So, yeah, apparently somebody went through.
How did you find out about this?
It's online. Kellogg's wants these commercials taken down. Somebody put in a lot of money, a lot of effort to make these commercials, and you look at them, it's fucking real.
What?
It's CGI Tony the Tiger. It is all the graphics, all the effects. And, like, these actors got paid to do this. These are paid actors, high quality. This is very much real, and Kellogg's is like, please take these down. But they are they are real commercials, but it's not sponsored by Kellogg's. But
yeah.
There's this article that put them up, so go look at them. They're insane, but look at them. These are real ass commercials. Someone went through a lot of trouble, spent a lot of money to get this done. So
wow!
Go bring the tiger out in you.
Wow!
They're great.
Oh my God! I'm gonna look at them.
Please do.
I'm glad that Kellogg's didn't go to, like, an ad agency was like, give us something edgy.
And then we really want to go in a different direction.
Modern Family.
Dark and broody, yeah. You have a lot of explaining to do to your kids about this prostitute or suicide bomber. Mommy.
Morning cartoons.
Yeah, in front of the morning cartoons, it's all too much.
James, I don't think this is, like, the perfect time to tell me that Quizlet corner, because literally I'm like cracked out right now. And then you tell me the most cracked
Yay.
Out Quizlet corner in my life. This is better
Yay.
Than Mick. What was that dog's name?
McCanine.
McCanine.
Or the Greta Garbo one. That one was good. Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to spruce in some fun. Yeah.
Wow. So I'm...
Well, good job. You're 1-for-1.
I'm 0-1. 1-0.
Yeah. No, 1-for-1. 1-for-1.
Yeah.
All right. Way to go, Ineke. I stumped you a little bit, but you did get one right.
That's the most stumping ever. That was good.
Yes.
That was very good.
They bring out the tiger. Oh, okay. In you. Ineke, I want to talk about some business right in front of the listeners.
What?
I don't want to do it in private. I want to put it all right out here.
Okay, uh-oh.
I'm going to come to your wedding.
Yay.
I meant to RSVP, fill out the little card thing.
I know.
And I brought it with me to Amsterdam.
Which is weird. Why did you?
And I'm supposed to mail it.
Why did you
and
bring
I know the
it?
Deadline's coming up. And I don't know. I was in a hurry. I was in a rush.
So instead, you took it with you across the world.
It's here right now. And I don't want to pay for postage. So I'm just telling you in front of our listeners, in front
Yay!
Of everybody.
Get your plane ticket, though.
I'm going to go buy my ticket right after this.
Okay.
And I'm coming. So you heard it first right here. We have a lot of blood, sweat, and tears making this worldwide podcast happen, so we're glad that y'all are enjoying it, and please continue to spread the word, post it on Reddit, please, we're trying to grow our audience and to increase the amount of minorities in the minority corner, and then we become the majority corner, and so we keep spreading that message of love. So next week, we will probably have a guest speaker all the way from Europe on. Known as my boyfriend, we'll probably have him on the episode. So,
yay!
But I'll see you next week. And okay, it's been a lot of fun. Enjoy Oakland.
You
stay
too.
Out of
have
the El Nino.
In Amsterdam.
Don't get wet, girl. See you next week.
Okay, I'll try.
Bye.